Yes, and here I am. It was interesting listening to some of the advertisements, but first, though, we're on AM 1030, The Voice, with trusted local news and talk, transmitting in the Ahenny Man's Haven radio studio. I am Maurice Cerrone, along with my wife, the owner of Ahenny Man's Haven. With us today, is our wonderful production engineer, John Couch. And welcome, John. It's nice to have you. Run the keyboard or the circuit breakers or whatever else we want to call them, switches, et cetera, et cetera. A little bit about Jim Bohannon. I guess the only comment I have concerning toilet paper in the bathroom is if you have children, you better put the roll or the feet of the toilet paper on the backside. If you have all adults in the house, then you may trust it to have it on the front side. There's probably nothing worse than seeing sheets and sheets and sheets of toilet paper all over the floor because some young child of ours or whatever it happens to be had fun in figuring out what all this stuff was coming off the roll. Anyway, that's a suggestion from my standpoint. The tip of the day, you may say, with the families as far as that goes. Our Tucson location of Ahenny Men's Haven is located at 1724 South 6th Avenue. That places us six blocks south of 22nd Street. We're the big yellow building as you're proceeding southbound on the right side of the street, or if you are directionally oriented, it would be on the west side of the street as you approach it. Parking is available on the north side in the street that's there, or on the south side where the main parking lot of the facility is. We have a phone number in Tucson is 520-624-7200. The hours of operation are from 9 a.m. in the morning to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday, except for specific holidays and things of that nature. Our Green Valley location is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 100 Alpha. We're at the north end of Green Valley, coming off of the Duval Mine Exit Road, and then heading down to the roads themselves, and then picking up Calle de las Tiendas. The phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. The hours of operation are normally from 8:30 in the morning to 4 or 4:30 in the afternoon. Come on down and see us. Give us a call, whatever you may happen to be. If people are busy doing other things, we may end up sending you over to voicemail, and we'll intercept those and give you a calls back. On behalf of the entire staff of Ahenny Man's Haven, we thank everybody that is a listening audience that voted for Ahenny Man's Haven in a Reader's Choice Award of the Arizona Daily Star, which just came out. The Sunday paper today reiterated all the winners and the favorites, the second and third place positions of that outstanding voting session that was conducted. Ahenny Man's Haven was first place in, or the winner as they classified, in the best cabinets and countertops. We placed second in the best hardware store and also placed second in the best home remodeling store. So again, we thank you very much for that voting. Hope to see you down at the store where we can assist you and what you may have as far as your designs or other types of things we have at Ahenny Man's Haven. For those of you that came into the store this past week, as well as those who made phone calls or asking about various pieces of information that we maybe assist you with, again, I thank you very much for that. It was good seeing you and talking to you as far as that goes. We had two people in this past week talk about mesquite wood construction. I am somewhat familiar with that, as well as materials in mesquite wood that is available throughout the city. We do specialty doors, and one of the major activities we're working on is assisting a customer in designing fiberglass doors to accomplish what they want them to look like. And the first one, as an example, it has a 6-inch piece by 45-inch piece along one side of the door in the rain glass type glass that's available. a very specialty door for their exterior door system, of which they're requiring three different doors. And that's also the challenge that we've had to accept due to the special request on behalf of the customer. The second door, which is extremely unique, the customer actually built a stained glass window of a quail, a very artistically designed. It was done with copper inlay, which is one of the methods of putting stained glass together. Years ago, stained glass was put together with as well as copper, but one of the other mechanisms, which is a little less tedious to accomplish, was the lead came, as we call it. A came is spelled the same way as we say that somebody came into the house, but in the construction field of leaded glass, it refers to the leaded channels that were extruded in order to assist the stained glass people in developing stained glass windows. That was the old type method of doing it many, many years ago. I am familiar with that because I did attend a school at the Hollander Glass Company in Long Beach, California, for several weeks to learn the methods of producing stained glass windows. So this is going to be installed in a door. Along with that, we have to provide some insulated glass to protect the weather situation associated with it, and then mount the stained glass on the inside. So this becomes quite challenging in that nature, especially with a fiberglass door. But we've come forward with a system to accomplish that, subject to the customer's approval on what's going to take place. The third door is also very unique. They wanted to take one of the doors that are displayed that can be constructed with fiberglass and invert the door. The reason they wanted to invert it is because the panel structure itself, the bottom panel they want on the top, and of course, when we do invert the door in that case, the top panel becomes the bottom, and all these doors are going to be pre-hung, and that means I'll have the exterior frame about it, and hopefully when they get them home, all I have to do is insert it and then shim them out and put on the molding that is required to cover up the slots associated with the shimming out of the framework in order to get the door plumb and level. So those are some of the challenges we have at A. Henny Manshaven. We've got others that come up periodically, and I'll end up sharing some of those after we get back from our current break that's being set up by John Couch. We are on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. And we'll talk about laminate countertops when we come back off the break. So take it away, John. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I do have a couple hammers in my toolbox, by the way. Some of them are very interesting from that standpoint. But I am Maurice, transmitting in the A. Henny Manshaven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. If you'd like to enter in the conversation today, give us a call here at the studio itself at 520-790-2040. Each week I talk about laminate countertops. A. Henny Manshaven can provide you with all sorts of countertops of various types of material. Laminate countertops is one by the Formica Wilson Art Company, or there are some other companies that also provide outstanding laminate. We can provide you natural stone countertops. When it comes to granite, I'm drawing a blank. Oh, quartz, not quartz, really, but granite, marble, travertine, slate, and a couple other natural stones. We do not do any tile or other types of countertops or stainless steel of that nature. When it comes to natural products, we do accomplish that. We do laminate. We also have butcher block countertops available also. But the most economical countertop that's available is a laminate countertop. It has tremendous qualities. It's very durable, a long-lasting. It is antimicrobial. It is basically maintenance-free. Like all countertops, you take good care of your countertop and it'll last a long period of time. And from that standpoint, we can provide you a laminate countertop 10 feet of laminate countertop, which would be about $90. That'll come with an integrated coved-in backsplash. And then all you will need is to have it cut the distances that you require for your kitchen. We can do that for you. That's complimentary or free. If you do have some other characteristic countertop cuts that are available or need to be accomplished, such as minor splices and also preparing the ends for protection, there is a slight charge to accomplish that. So with straight cuts, we can get you out in 1 or 2 days. If you need some extensive work done on your countertop, it could take up to 3 days and maybe push you into about 5 business days, depending upon our workload at A Handyman's Haven. This is far less than any other countertop that's available. Formica is the least expensive of all of them. They provide you excellent characteristics as far as durability goes. It's basically maintenance-free except for cleaning up the messes that you create. It's stain-resistant, it's antimicrobial, hyperallergenic, and all those other good features that you may desire in your countertop. So keep us in mind for laminate countertops, far less than any of the other countertops that are available. This past week, we took upon a project. A customer called a while back and wanted to know if we could repair a table for him. And he showed up last week with the table. It was an antique table, a three-legged with very ornate legs. And the legs were sort of coming loose. Within the countertop structure itself, they had tried to strap them back together again, and needless to say, they did not have the success that they were looking for. So we brought the table into our shop. We worked on it for a period of time, got it extremely stabilized. It was almost immovable as far as the legs go, except when you maybe fell on it and try to push it aside. But other than that, it was very, very strong and very supportive for what they wanted accomplished in that. So they were very thankful as far as our antique table goes from that standpoint. Very, very beautiful table in the coloring as well as the designs of all the carvings that were on the three legs that it was present to hold up the surface itself. A nice top of glass or something like they had would be very, very appropriate and give it a very, very fine feature in your living room or family room, wherever they were going to use it. A couple of the other projects that we're working on, which is highly significant, is one is that we're changing a pantry, as an example, into what may be considered a double oven unit or a beverage cooler with a microwave. Either one of them would be very appropriate. So we're using a 24-inch pantry. We're putting 2 drawers at the bottom of the pantry, of which they do not have any drawers. They basically come with doors. We're providing the sufficient support systems we need to hold a microwave, which will be on a shelf anchored to the sidewalls, as well as a beverage cooler will be underneath the microwave in order to go into various types of homes, of which this contractor is rehabilitating for the activities that they need to have this accomplished. Their cooktop will be sort of on the side next to this, which may be a 1 or 2 burner cooktop. Electric is the main source of power. So they got all 3 of these units, and they're probably using not more than about 5 feet of space, 2 feet for the pantry, and about 2 to 3 feet for the small little cooktop that they're going to use. They'll have a microwave, they'll have a beverage cooler, and they'll have a cooktop in order to support the needs of the people that are living in these units. So these are some of the things that we can do at A Handyman's Haven. We will take upon any challenges, like some of the ones I just discussed with you, concerning the projects that may come about. One of the things that I did find out this past week, which is very ingenious from the nature, is that a customer needed to make some cabinet doors. And making cabinet doors can be rather tedious in nature, as well as very, very expensive. Surprisingly enough, that if you have a $400 cabinet, that the cabinet door system in the front, which is part of the front face of the cabinet, could run easily somewhere in the vicinity of $300 or so. This is very shocking to many people who are thinking about refacing their cabinetry and wanting to apply to their existing cabinetry brand new doors and brand new drawer fronts, let alone the status of many of the drawer boxes that were used of years past are not holding up very well. So this can be quite costly with that nature. Now, if you want to paint your cabinets in a refacing operation, that'll probably be less costly, but very time-consuming and could be very messy depending upon the painting activity that you're going to accomplish from that standpoint. But we do repair cabinet doors. We can also build brand-new boxes behind your cabinet if the cabinet structure gets wet itself. There's much discussion that goes on continually about whether plywood is a better form of side panel for the cabinetry versus a particle board. So keep that in mind when you want to have some repairs taking place. We can also do stain matching, of which we're accomplished almost weekly on various activities that customers come in and ask us about in trying to repair or fix up things, whether it's for their home that they're living in permanently for a while, or whether they're getting ready to sell their home and they want to dress it up a little bit. One of the other main things that's very important, especially when we were selected as a winner in the Arizona Reader's Choice Award in the best cabinets and countertops, is our design of our cabinetry may provide you for the dream area that you would like to have cabinets in. So such rooms as your craft room, your garage, your closets, your bathroom, your foyer, your kitchen, your family room activity areas, your laundry room, and any other room in your house that you would like to have cabinets, we can provide you with your dream arrangement of those cabinets and make them as functional as possible and increase your efficiency of your working areas. We can do it, folks, so keep us in mind when it comes to that capability as far as arranging cabinetry. So we do accomplish many activities with doors from that standpoint. If you need a door only, we can provide you with a door only of various types of compositions. We can dap it, as we say, to put the hinge placements in for you. We can also obtain doors with various heights, like you may have a mechanical room in your hallway, precisely that will house a water heater as well as a central heating and cooling unit. Those doors are normally shorter in nature, but we can get that set up for you. We can do fiberglass doors. We can do metal doors, as well as various types of woods. We do have one company that will produce for you a myriad of woods. Probably about 30 or 40 different types of woods are available in order to accomplish that. We can even get you a, as some people would call today, a solid wood door that is made from dimensional lumber. And notice I suffixed that statement with dimensional lumber. That is quite a bit different than a solid wood door. Solid wood doors are mainly veneered doors, where a solid wood door from dimensional lumber is a considerably different construction for the door. Another little thing I like to talk about is coming up shortly in early October is the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association's Home and Garden Show for the fall. That's going to be October 4th through the 6th. So keep that in mind. October 4th is Friday. It runs Saturday and Sunday. So on October 4th and 5th, which is Friday and Saturday, the show will be starting at 10 a.m. in the morning and terminating at 6 p.m. in the evening. On Sunday, the show will run from 10 a.m. in the morning to 5 p.m. You can go online. You can pick up coupons for the show. That would be very important. On the day of the show, there'll be a coupon in the newspaper. So you may want to grab a couple of those, and that could save you a couple bucks when you want to check into the show. So come on down and see A Handyman's Haven. We'll have a lot of things on display there. We'll be in the 700 aisle, which is considered the Remodelers Council row for the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. You'll see a lot of advertisement coming up shortly, if it isn't already out, in bus stops, on the radio, on television, and et cetera. So the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association, a home and garden show, October 4th, 5th, and 6th at the Tucson Community Center. And parking is complimentary on behalf of the Southern Arizona Home Builders Association. Well, we've just completed our second segment. We're going to have John take us away, and we'll see you again, folks, after the break. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice of A Handyman's Haven, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on frequency AM 1030, the voice with your trusted local news and talk. If you'd like to enter the conversation today, you're welcome to do that. The phone number here is 520-790-2040. That would be good to hear about this projects that you've got going on within your home, commercial or residential, that the listening audience would enjoy entering into the information that you may want to present. In looking or reviewing one of the trade magazines that I receive, I do receive a magazine concerning a water quality and the products associated with it. And many of us remember of many, many months ago about in the Midwest, the lead problem that I believe in the upper Midwest that one of our major cities had uncovered, and the difficulty it was having the proper supply of water for the patrons of the city. Most of us are familiar with lead. It's been around a long period of time, and in fact, of years past, lead was the mainstay of one thing that I talked about just a little bit earlier, is putting stained glass together in the windows for people. Lead paint was a very sturdy paint that was used quite regularly, and in 1978, it was terminated as far as paint structure goes. There are various methods of removing lead paint if you plan on removing it. One advantage that you have with lead paint, as an example, it can be encapsulated, and therefore you don't have to remove it or scrape it off and go through all the white room positions that we have to be in, such as clothing and showering and et cetera, in order to protect you due to the friable portion of removing lead paint. So a couple of things that we've been well aware of in contaminants in water, and one of them was lead, as I talked about just a little bit here, and the other is polyfluoroalkali, sometimes labeled as PFAS. That's Papa Foxtrot Alpha Sierra. These are two well-known contaminants that have occurred quite regularly and have been worked on, and rules are in place as a result of the Environmental Protection Agency to reduce the quantity or the parts per million that these items can be in the water. Public water is quite safe. Public water would be people who are sanctioned to have their own wells, acquire their water, et cetera, and distribute it to the public. They have to go through a very exhaustive testing program on a definite time period in order to ensure that their water meets the high quality that it's supposed to be. That is probably the most extensive testing that is accomplished on any of our drinking water, is coming from the public water system, no matter where the water comes from. But there are many other elements that the Environmental Protection Agency is looking at, and some states are also addressing the issue and putting rules in place in order to handle that. I do know that presently we have seen governmental action concerning California and the emission controls of automobiles that is under discussion at the present time. But some things, such as manganese, Now, somebody may think that I may have pronounced that chemical term, but there is magnesium, which is M-A-G, and then there is manganese. Manganese is M-A-N, and then the G. So that is one item that is being subjected to major discussion. Canada has already put in place so many parts per million of that product that is has to be or cannot be present in their drinking water. Manganese has been long been regulated only as an aesthetic concern in the U.S. and in many other countries. But today it is coming under scrutiny. Canada has already put something in place, and there are many other states in the United States that's also looking at manganese as a contaminant and should be regulated. There are some of these other things I've never heard about to a certain extent. One is perchlorate. In May of 2019, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency took steps in proposing regulations in the drinking water by setting a national primary drinking water regulation. So this is also of concern to the EPA, and we may see something that's going to be regulated, if not many states have already tried to accomplish that from that standpoint. Another one is called hexavalent, chromium. We've all heard of the word chromium as an example. Many of the automobile fenders and various other things that we use have been covered or veneered with chromium, so to speak, and that itself is also under regulations. Not only in the U.S., but many state governments are taking serious steps to regulate the contaminants. They hope to get this done before the federal EPA standards introduces it, so they can have control over the regulations and the parts per million. Such states that are looking into this quite extensively is California, New Jersey, North Carolina, New York has a Senate bill already on the floor in the state, and there's many other state Department of Health that are also looking at that product. One of the other ones that comes up is labeled as 1-2-3 trichloropropane. So the 1-2-3 and the tri sort of matches up. Tri means three, so trichloropropane. Propane, as you know, if you take that by itself, is a gas that we use for barbecues. For people that are not on the natural gas system, they have probably propane tanks that are refilled periodically. So the regulation of this, and of course California again seems to be a leader in this category, is looking at establishing the parts per million, so to speak, or parts per trillion. I don't quite know what the T stands for in this case, but five, and that happens to be 5 zeros and a 5 after the decimal point. So there is an assembly bill in California as well as New Jersey that is attempting to regulate these contaminants in the water from that standpoint. Dioxane. Under the New York State bill, they are attempting to regulate parts per million of this product itself. I do have to admit that there is one more I'm going to talk about, but I don't know what the overall effects of these are, but I would suspect that some of the things that has occurred over the past years and diseases that we've picked up as a result of wherever we are in eating and things of that nature are going to be the thing. Cancer probably being one of them, even though they haven't nailed down what causes all forms of cancer from that standpoint. Another one that they talk about is microplastics. So microplastics would be any plastic that we as know of that's been attached or reduced into very, very fine particles. And this is under serious concern from that standpoint. There presently is over a $200 million study that's taken place by the various drinking water agencies that are trying to locate the information concerning what needs to be regulated and not regulated in our water. So this is of a primary concern since we all know that Water itself is a mainstay of life. Without a sufficient amount of hydration in our system, whether you're out hiking, whether you just are doing nothing during the day and go to sleep, etc., you can develop cramps and all sorts of activity that may cause you serious difficulties throughout your daily activities. So from that standpoint, we'll move on to the next discussion, which are going to be some tips that we've located or that I've located that may be of assistance to you in some of the projects that you're accomplishing in your home. I know one of my thought was very interesting is that we use ladders to do a lot of things in our activity level. And sometimes we use ladders that lean up against the building. Other times we use a triangular ladder that opens up and we climb that ladder. Many times we establish ladders in the wrong position. They can become a real safety hazard from that standpoint. I've always been told, especially by the firemen, that if you put a ladder up against the building like the eave of your roof, that you want to stand straight in front of the base of the ladder, put your arm extended out, and that should be the angle of your ladder. Always make sure that that type of ladder is firmly set in the ground that you put it on, and so it's not going to move when you get up to the top and try to stand on some of the rungs. It could very well slip out from underneath you if you get on the ladder in the wrong position. But many times we're also going up on a roof structure, as an example, or up the side of a building or your home, and we're carrying cords with us or hoses or whatever it may happen to be. One thing that you may want to do before you're setting your ladder, you can prep this ahead of time, is get yourself a carriage bolt and a double nut system, maybe with some washers also, depending upon your top rung of the ladder. And of course, we all know nobody stands on the top rung of a ladder because that is a guaranteed accident to develop rather rapidly. And you're not going to recover from that until you hit the ground. But if you take a carriage bolt of 4 or 5 inches long, or maybe longer, depending upon what you're going to carry up there, you can open up the triangular ladder as an example. Take a rolled up coil of rope, hoses, etc. Hook it on the ladder. Go ahead and open up the ladder. And now you have that hose or electrical cord or whatever it happens to be in the proper position that when you get up there, you're able to grab it and do whatever you need to do with it. So sometimes that's called a carriage bolt ladder hook. Rather easy to accomplish. You can also do the same thing with a C-clamp or a clamp that has a corkscrew and tighten that down very tight, and that will also establish a nice hook for you. One of the things that a lot of us get accomplished with is resurfacing walls within home. Patching cracks on plastered walls, patching cracks due to the seam on drywall because they hadn't been seamed properly can be very difficult to maintain the missing or the lack of the crack itself. So when we get back from the next break, I'll talk a little bit about that. We're transmitting on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk, and we'll see you after break, folks. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice from A Handyman's Haven, transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk. If you'd like to enter the conversation, please do so. Our phone number here for a live discussion is 520-790-2040. Mentioned a little bit earlier about resurfacing bad walls. Bad walls may be created because of the drywall seams not being attached appropriately. They may crack and open up. You may have plastered walls, as an example, the wet cement plastered walls of years past, and they may be coming apart. You may have tried to hang picture frames on various of these walls, and maybe your hammer missed the nail that was going in and now poked in a big hole. So there's all sorts of reasons why you may have bad walls. Well, there is something that's available which I thought was interesting. It's called wall liners. And these are sheet goods. It comes in rolls. You can probably locate it online by putting in the words that I just mentioned to you. Wall liners are repairing plastered walls or drywall type walls, whatever it may happen to be. And it's much thicker than regular paper. If you're going to wallpaper your wall, which will give it a, from what I understand, it'll give it a good hardy surface in its description. With that glued onto your walls, you then can paint your walls. You can do a lot other types of things that you may want to do it. You can make them smooth. You can make them textured. And it could be a good repair in order to dress up your home instead of trying to repair the plaster, trying to plug a hole. I know there's several techniques available to plug up holes on plaster as well as drywall. Drywall is relatively easier to accomplish than wet cement plastered walls. You start cracking wet cement plaster, and you've got a pretty tough road to hold in trying to mix up sufficient brown coat, which is the base coat, and then your surface coat, and then a coloring attached to that. So keep that in mind. Wall liners that can repair a lot of your surfaces of your walls. Thinset. There are two types of thinset available. And what are we going to use thinset for? Thinset is used when you lay carpet on, not carpet, but when you lay tile on a floor. Whether it be Saltillo tile, whether it be ceramic tile or porcelain tile or whatever type of hard surface type tile. Normally, it's laid with thinset. The unique thing about a Saltillo tile is that Saltillo tile normally is convex in nature. That means the hump is on the top. You don't want the hump on the bottom because your tile will rotate up and down and around. Maybe a little difficult, plus the bottom surface is not treated appropriately in order to be a surface for the room, unless you want to collect a lot of dirt and dust in the Saltillo tile. But thin set underneath, which supports the tile and keeps it in good shape from that standpoint. And there's two types that are available. Most of us probably have used the less expensive type, which is basically porcelain cement with a little bit of sand mixed in. But there is a type that's called flex bond, as an example. Depending upon how much you have to do, would impinge upon the cost attached to it. So a 50-pound bag of a thin set in the type of thin set that is very good as far as holding everything together could cost you up to $30 for 50 pounds when the standard blend that most people use in order to keep the cost down is about $8 for a 50-pound bag. So do take a look at the type of bonding that you're going to use. It was developed to bond the impervious-type tile. As many of us know, many tiles are non-porous, so to speak. And that's what impervious means, that the wet cement or whatever it happens to be is not going to invest into the pores of the tile. And so glass is that way, porcelain tile is that way, and there's probably a couple others out there at the present time that could also be that way. So keep that in mind when you're tiling certain surfaces. Remember that thinset is also porous. So even though you seal thinset, the literature will indicate to you that there could be a 20% porosity of liquids that will penetrate the sealed thinset. If the, not, I shouldn't say the thinset, but the grout line, which is a form of thinset. I wasn't trying to mislead you there, but the grout from that standpoint. If the grout is not sealed, then who knows what's going to be running through there as you wash your floors, wet mop it, so on and so forth. So keep that in mind when you're using a ceramic or glass tile or porcelain on the floors. One of the other articles I picked up this past week, which is rather interesting, is keeping crooks out of your house. many of us today are on this nature network, and it was rather interesting this past week because my wife has on her telephone, it comes up quite regularly, of various activities that are going on that the neighborhood watch people, and thank goodness that they're doing it, is letting you know that there's certain things occurring. The other interesting thing I find with these types of apps that are available is that it may not be only for your area, of which that is probably the primary one that you got tied up with or are utilizing, but there's many other surrounding areas that are also transmitting on the same wave or through the same medium. And as a result of that, you can be getting things that are far away or things that are close by. And to sort through that may become rather difficult to figure out. You know, we did find one the other night that came up, and it was about 5 miles away, which it was of a serious concern about some woman who found somebody that was trying to break in her house, and I guess she got out some sort of stick or something and ended up chasing away, jumped in her car and tried to track him down after that, and sort of lost him in the flail going up and down the streets. So take a look. If you're going to provide some security for your home, you can focus on your windows and doors. Many people have steel bars on your home, which are quick release from the inside. One of the other thing that is a great deterrent for crooks is to have a lot of lights on the outside of your house. You may want to redevelop your Eve lighting system, as an example, that you can turn your lights on in various locations within your home, because you're not always going to be in a location that where you can hit a switch and turn on the lights. You can have two-way or three-way lighting systems, four-way lighting systems, five-way lighting systems. That means that you would have one less than that number I just quoted to you of switches in your home where you can turn on your lights and maybe lighten up the entire outside of your home. That in itself would probably freak any crook out that's trying to break in. So most of us also think of crime always going to happen at nighttime. Well, that's not going to be the case. Nocturnal activity, that may be classified as. And in fact, most burglaries within the home, according to national statistics, appear between 10 a.m. in the morning and 5 p.m. in the evening, early evening or afternoon. Many crooks get in through unlocked doors or windows. If you happen to have a house with a lot of windows in it, it may take you 5 or 10 minutes to go through the home and make sure every window is locked and secured with that type of activity. Sliding glass doors could be a major problem. Sliding glass doors in the past, as an example, you could take a crowbar or a bending bar on the outside of the home, raise up the sliding portion of the door and scoot it in the inside, and you're not going to care whether the glass breaks or not as the door flies into the inside of the house. But that one way to protect that, as well as any of your windows that can slide back and forth, or single hung, as we call them, or double hung windows that go up and down, you can establish with the carriage bolt, which would be a good thing to use, drill a hole in the top of your window system or your sliding glass door system where it, when you pass the bolt through the hole that you've just drilled, it goes into the fixed portion as well as the a sliding portion. That in itself will lock the door in place. I would recommend that you put it in at a little bit of a down angle, not necessarily straight in. Or if you're too short because you're reaching up there, you would normally put that in into an inclined angle, but try to get it in a declining type angle. That's so the bolt will not be driven out in a constant effort and try to get the sliding glass door open or the window open. So that's a very easy, economical way of providing you safety. A lot of times people use conduit piping. They may have a rotating bar that comes off the fixed portion that slides into the sliding portion. So there's lots of things available in order to protect your sliding mechanisms in the home from that standpoint. Window bars, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Window bars are very secure from that standpoint. There's also a screen out there that is a very, very strong, and you may want to keep that in mind. There are places in Tucson that sell that type of a screen, and they demonstrate at the home show, by the way, that you can't even drive a hammer through it when you hit it as hard as you want to hit it. Of course, you may break the glass on the inside. And many crooks do not like to break glass because they can get cut if glass starts flying around. We know that glass in windows, as an example, is non-tempered. A glass in doors are basically tempered. A little bit about fire extinguishers as far as home care goes. Fire extinguishers, there are several classes of fire extinguishers. You can look them up and determine which one would be appropriate to you. But make sure that they're away from the fire, that so you can go grab them and come back to the fire. In a commercial installation, we use fire extinguishers to find us a pathway to leave the store and get out in the open air, and we'll let the store burn down and take it from that standpoint. I'll talk a little bit more about some of the tips and things that come up. On behalf of A Handyman's Haven, we appreciate you listening. We have Jeff Prather of the Prather Point coming on with some great information concerning the activities in the United States. And folks, we'll see you next week.